September the 5th, 2010, Sunday morning, and we're turning to Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise, being left us of entering into his rest, any of you seem to come short of it. Now, I just want to stop right there, and we're going to talk about this just for a minute. In the Amplified, it says, therefore, while the promise of the eternal, therefore, while the promise of entering in his rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you should think he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. In other words, his rest is attainable. His rest is available. His rest is provided. His rest is accessible. Amen. Rest is ours. It belongs to us. Now, the opposite of rest is unrest, right? The opposite of not walking in rest or living in rest. You know, when you sit down and you take rest, you just can be relaxed and take it easy. You kind of get your mind uncluttered. You kind of take a break and you take a deep breath. You don't have to worry about doing anything. You're just taking a rest. You're not working. You're not getting up and thinking about it. You're just going to take a rest. I've done my job and I've done the work, and now I'm just going to sit back here and take a break. Taking a break is like taking a rest to me. And he says you can enter into God's rest. There's a rest that God has provided for his people. And the way you can know if you've entered into rest is because it is a rest that's an abiding thing. It's not something you walk in and out of. You walk in this rest 24 hours a day. You rest when you're sleeping because it's a spiritual rest. It's not a rest of the head. It's not of the soul realm. Well, it is of the soul realm. But it's truly a rest of the heart. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. You're a spirit. If you weren't a spirit, you couldn't connect with God. Because spirit talks to spirit. Jesus said these words. He said, the words that I speak, they're spirit. So Jesus spoke spirit words. You are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in a body. Paul said, I pray that your whole body be preserved blameless. Your whole body, your soul, and your spirit be preserved blameless until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a triune being. You have to absolutely understand this to really get this message that I'm going to share. You have to know you are not your body. Your body is just your house you live in. It's not the real you. If you own a home, you're going to tell people, that's me right over there. No, that's not you. That's just where you live. That's your house. You are the real you. Your spirit is the real you. And your spirit is the only part of you that can talk and hear from God. Hearing from God is, and prayer is, communicating with God.
Amen.
People want to know, well, how do you hear from God? How do you hear from God? You hear from God through your human spirit. Because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is truth. God is love. You know, you just look at everything God is. God is spirit. God is truth. God is love. God is all these things. So you want to get close to God, then you need to get as close to being like him. And that way you can hear him better. You know, Jesus said, my sheep will hear and know my voice. If my sheep do not hear and know my voice, it's because they don't know me. They don't know what I'm about. But if you know him, you'll know his voice. You'll get to know the sound of his voice. You'll get to know what he talks like, what he would say to you. Because a stranger will not come and talk like Jesus talks. He won't say, a devil, for example, will not say what Jesus would say to you in the spirit. Now you got to remember, the devil's a spirit too. He's a spirit too. And he talks to us too.
Right.
Know the difference. The only way to know the difference is by the Word of God.
Amen.
That's our ruler. That's our measuring stick. That's our plumb line, is the Word of God. Now, if you spend an hour a week studying the Word, you're going to know God based on that hour that week you gave him. If you spend 15 minutes reading the Word of God, you're going to hear the Word from God, a Word from God, based on that 15 minutes that you gave him a week. But if if you give God an hour a day, every day, you're going to increase your ability to hear when God talks to you. A whole bunch. You will increase your chances. Your chances of hearing God are going to be so much better than if you just spent 15 minutes with Him a week talking to Him, reading His Word. I think I'd like to increase my volume. Increase my fine-tune my receiver a little bit. You know, signals are going through the air right now. Airwaves are going through here. But you've got to have the right receiver to pick it up. The right frequency. If you want to hear something from WJMM, you got to turn it to 99.1. And you got to make sure your radio has a receiver that's working. And you got to have a good one sometimes when you're in the mountains where I used to live. My dad used to string. He took a big old one of those antennas, the old-fashioned antennas, and went clear to the top of the hill. I mean, way up on top of the hill to get better reception. Cable before satellite. But you had to still have something that would receive the signal. God is always talking. But if we don't have time to study His Word, to know what He's saying to us, then we cannot hear God the way He wants us to hear Him. And it could be so important to you, and it is important, it's absolutely important to you, and your life's future, your plans and your destinies and the things that God has planned for you, you won't fulfill them. You just can't. It's like trying to make a stab how would you like to try to cross a creek at night? Wouldn't it be better to have some light or a flashlight to see where to walk? You know, I've crossed many a creek. I came from the mountains. Crossed many a creek in the night, playing out in the night in the woods, camping out, going places in the country. You don't want to walk barefooted in the country. And I went barefooted most of my life growing up. You want some light with you. So I either carry a lantern or a flashlight so you can see where you're going. The Word of God will help you see where you're going in this life. And His Word will direct you. Because see, the Holy Spirit's been given to us to lead us and guide us into all truth. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, He says in St. John chapter 1. So being a son of God is being born again, being a new creature in Christ. In other words, you've been given a place now where you have a receiver that's capable of receiving a direct word from God. We've got reception. We can finally watch TV now. We can finally hear from God. I can remember a time when we couldn't watch TV until Daddy strung that line and hooked up that antenna and turned it just right. We had no picture. We'd get outside and say, no, you turn it a little more. Yeah. Turn it that way. How's it now? Well, you need to turn it back. Remember those crazy times?
Yes.
God is always talking. God is always talking to His people. But we've got to learn to know His Word before you'll ever hear it. You won't have reception if you don't know God's Word. Now let me explain a little more to you about what I'm sharing. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, He's promised us a rest. He's promised us a place where you can live and abide and dwell and enjoy something called rest. And it's the most priceless, precious thing you could ever, ever have. I'm telling you, I don't care if you worked as hard as you could work in the diamond mines or the gold mines or wherever you worked your whole life and get as rich as you could be, there is nothing you can't put a price on this kind of rest. Money cannot buy this rest I'm going to share with you this morning. Money cannot purchase it. You can't go down to the dollar store. You can't go to the farmer's market. You can't go anywhere on the planet of this earth and find this rest. It's not for sale. You have to get it for yourself. It's something you have to do yourself. And it's available. If I told you I had a big old gold mine over here, but you got to go hunt for it and dig it out, buddy, you'd be getting a shovel and a pick, and you'd be going after it. You'd be digging, and you'd be a picking, and you'd be a shoveling, and you'd be a searching, and you'd be looking, and you'd get every little nugget you could get, because it's worth something.
Yes.
Well, this is made way more worth than any amount of money, this rest.
Amen.
You may have never heard this message this way, this chapter preached like this, but this is the way the Lord has laid it out this morning. The Holy Spirit has laid it out this morning. We got to know that there's a rest. Verse 2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them." Well, don't be like those folks in the wilderness where the word that came to them, the word of God, didn't profit them. I'm going to let it profit me. The Word of God is going to profit Teresa. If I'm going to read the Word, and I'm going to spend my time reading the Word of God, by golly, it's going to pay off. I'm going to make sure I get the benefit of it. I don't eat a steak and expect it not to do my body some good. I don't eat broccoli for the fun of it. I don't eat spinach for the fun of it. I expect it to do some good to my body. The Word of God is going to do you good if you just read it. But you read it by faith, because you can hear the Word, but if you don't believe the Word, it'll profit you nothing. So this is a key. You've got to read it, but you got to believe it.
Yes.
It's truly a Word from God. It's a spirit word. And it's a nourishment for your human spirit. It's nourishment for you. It's your food. It's your vitally important food. If you don't eat 3 meals a day, your body will let you know it. If you go without a meal once a day, your body will definitely let you know it. If you don't feed your flesh will be screaming. I don't know if anybody's ever fasted very long, but I've fasted a few days, and I'm going to tell you what, the flesh will let you know when it's hungry.
Amen.
And your spirit will let you know too. Your spirit man will let you know it's hungry. Do you know, a lot of times when we have not nourished our spirit man, you can feel it. You can feel your spirit man crying, "I'm hungry. I'm hungry." And you know what we'll do? We'll go get something out of the refrigerator trying to satisfy it. Mm-hmm. Rather than sit down and read the Word of God, which is really what you need to do. Because it's a hunger from the depth of your innermost being.
Yes.
You think it's your belly. It's not your belly. It's your spirit talking to you. And we're just thinking, "Well, it's just I'm hungry." No, you're hungry for something bigger and better and deeper and more important. Let's jump now to, let's go to verse 11 of chapter 4. I'm just going to jump down. It says, "Let us labor therefore." There's the other therefore. "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest." Now, the word labor, it really just means what it says. And the Amplified, it says, "Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter in, to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience unto which those in the wilderness fell." Not me. I'm not going to go that direction. I'm going to exert myself. I'm going to be diligent. And I'm going to press in to know how to get this rest. Mm-hmm. I'm going to labor for this rest. And I'm going to enter into it. See, if it's available, it's accessible, it's mine, it's been provided, then I can have it. You used to come to me and tell me, "I'm giving you a new car," and hand me the keys. Buddy, you better believe I'll get in the thing and I'll learn how to drive it. First car I ever bought for myself in 1970. Actually, it was in 1970, might have been 1974. It was a 1970 American Austin, Austin American. And you talk about happy. Paid $700 for that car. It was a four-year-old car.
Wow.
Got the keys, and I just fell in love with this car. It was the right price. It was the right car. But guess what? It was a five-speed, and I didn't know how to drive a five-speed. Didn't have a clue. Never drove one in my life. But you know, I've always been this kind of a mindset that if anybody can do it, I can do it. If it can be driven, I can drive it. If it can be ridden, I can ride it. If it can be whatever, I can do it. If somebody else can do it, I can do it.
Amen.
You got to know that.
Yes. Hallelujah.
It's available. It's accessible. You can walk in rest. Mm-hmm. Peace. So I jumped in that car. Can y'all give me some instructions here? I got to drive it to the courthouse, which is about 30 miles away. Made sure I had plenty of gas. "Can you give me some instructions?" "Well, you got this thing called a clutch." "Oh, what's that? What's that extra pedal there?" I'm only like 19, I think, at the time. And I said, "Well, I can do this." And I mean to tell you, about tore the thing up getting it to this. By the time I got there, I knew how to drive it. And I can drive one to this day, and I still do.
Amen.
And that's what I'm trying to explain. This is accessible. It's doable. But it's going. You're going to have to try it for yourself. You're going to have to get in the driver's seat, and you're going to have to make it happen for you. We all get on our knees. It's so easy to get on our knees and pray and ask God, God, give me rest, and God, give me peace, and God, help me here, and God, make this better, and God, if this would just be okay, then I'd be okay. If this would work out, then I would be okay. Whatever it is outside of us, we want God to come and fix it. And really, what we've got to do is get in there and learn to drive what He's already provided.
Right.
The rest is already there. It's provided. Just get in there and make it go. I'm entered in. Entering in is getting in and learning how to walk in the rest. Do y'all get this?
Amen.
It's available, it's accessible, and you can do it.
Yes. Praise God.
He's showing you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right here. It's in our face. Here's the instructions. How do I make this go? How do I walk in this rest? And how do I walk in the rest in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation? How do I walk in this rest when there's a real devil who's breathing down my throat sometimes? How do I walk in this kind of rest whenever all these obstacles are in my way? He shows you how. Through His power, through His mercy, through His grace, and His word in your mouth, in your heart and in your mouth. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, I'm spending 15 minutes a week studying the Word. Some people just think that's a lot of work. Man, I turn the TV off for 15 minutes. I turn off the internet, and I'm going to read the Bible. You know how hard it is to read your Word? Do you know how hard it is to turn everything off and get along with God? You know how hard it is to turn off this thing right here called a cell phone? How hard is that? Oh, I don't know if I can do it. Somebody might need me. I don't know. Oh, God, I don't think I can do it. Oh, God, help me turn this thing off. Okay. Because, see, I remember before cell phones. I remember living up a holler with no phone at all. I remember living up a holler with no hardly any heat. You know, luxuries of life have kind of spoiled us. It really spoiled us.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm at a place where my heart, well, I believe this with all my heart, because we are so spoiled. Mm-hmm. We don't have any needs. If you take away everything we have, we're going to seek God like we ain't never sought God.
Mm-hmm.
If you take away our electricity, for example,
wow,
don't you think you'll be seeking God? You take away our whatever,
mm-hmm,
you're going to be seeking God. Lose your job and see if you don't seek God.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, sometimes I think God's got to get our attention.
Yes.
I don't think God is doing it, but I know there's a devil who's out to kill, steal, and destroy.
Right.
Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter in to that rest. Now look at verse 12. All of a sudden, he says, okay, let's labor to enter into rest. Then it says, for the Word of God. The Word of God. Well, all of a sudden, the Word of God pops up.
Yeah.
What's this about the Word of God now? Let's look at the Word of God. It has everything to do with your rest. It has everything to do with you. It has everything to do with your receiver. It has everything to do with you fine-tuning you hearing from God. Hearing from God can change everything. It can set the course of your entire future on a different track. The Word of God can absolutely change the course of your children forever. The Word of God will change the course of your children forever. The Word of God will change your course of your life forever. The Word of God, the level of the Word of God that you put in your spirit man and in your mind will change everything about you. Everything. It changed my life. And I'm absolutely the least. And I know I'm the least. When a man thinks he's something, that's when he's nothing. You better walk around thinking you're the least. You think you're somebody, you're nothing. The Word of God, when a man thinketh he's something, then he's nothing. Really, that is a truth. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm speaking truth to you. I'm speaking the Word to you. You look at it, you think about it, you mull it over, you meditate on it, and you get it into you.
Mm-hmm.
Because he promised in a covenant in chapter 8 and chapter, I believe it's 8 and 10. I will make a covenant with you. I've already made a covenant with you. Through the blood of Jesus, we have a better covenant. He said, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will write my word in your heart and in your mind, and you will be to me a God. I will be to you a God, and you will be to me a people. That's his promise. That is an absolute promise. That's his word. Thus saith the Lord is a thus saith the Lord. So we've got a covenant, and we can now stand on that covenant and say, God, I need your word in my heart. I need your word in my mind. I need to know what you think. I need to start thinking like you. I need to start having that word written in my heart and writing it in my mind. I got to have it. Because my thinking's all messed up. The way I look at life and look at people is all messed up. I judge everybody. You know that. I just have a tendency to want to talk about people. I have a tendency to want to judge. You know, I don't like the way you act. You irritate me. I don't like what you do there. I don't like that. I don't like this. I have a tendency to talk about folks. Well, I need to fix that. Because that ain't God. That's not God. Guess what? We all have a tendency to do these things. Because it's the sin nature. It's so easy to tell a lie. Do you ever notice how easier it is to tell a lie than to tell the truth most of the time?
Yep.
Well, it's easier just to say whatever. But boy, you start talking truth all the time, 100% of the time, you out of your mouth. You start making it a point to never, ever, ever tell the least little lie or bend the truth in any way, shape, or form and start acting like God. Boy, that's a challenge. But the only way you can do that is by the Word of God. It gets easier. That's that rest. It starts getting easier to be like Him. Starts getting easier. The more time you spend with Him and you spend in His Word, the easier it is to be like God and to hear from God. Am I not saying the truth?
Amen.
For the Word of God, this is what He says, the Word of God. We're all talking about rest and laboring in to enter into it, right? The Word of God is the key to entering in to rest. Whew, taking it easy, kicking back. And you don't have to be worried about everything you say and everything you do. It's amazing how you can just enjoy life now. I enjoy serving God. I enjoy life. I enjoy living. I look forward to the next day now. I can remember a time when I couldn't even go to my mailbox for dread of what was going to be in that mailbox. Oh, God, what's going to be in there today? I had fear all the time. I lived in a state of fear and a state of panic all the time. I had no peace. I had no rest mentally. I was just tore up all the time. How am I going to do this? And how am I going to do that? How's this going to be paid? How's that going to be paid? I lived like this. Had a fellow the other day call me. I don't know what we're going to do. I just don't know what we're going to do. I need you to pray for me. I run into people all the time. Pray for me. Pray for me. I need help. I need help. I need this. They do not know what to do. They don't know God. They obviously don't know God. They may know God, but they only know a little bit of God. They look at Him and know Him just through a tiny, tiny mirror, a tiny picture of God. All they have. You know, they only can walk in what they have. So entering into this rest is verse 11, laboring to enter in, and verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick. Let's find out what the word of God is. Okay, let's just go back here. Verse 12 says, for the word of God. Is it written in your heart? What I'm getting ready to tell you is this. If it's written in your heart and it's written in your mind, this is what you've got inside of you. And whatever amount you have, it's measurable. The Word of God can be measured. And so whatever amount of words you have, your word level, is based on the labor that you've made. Would you not say that's a fact? Let's make it tangible. Let's make it something we can measure. If I gave you a gold mine out here and you started digging and working and bringing in truckloads, say you had a couple truckloads of gold. You could say, that's measurable, and that's how much gold I've got. How far is that going to take you? Well, that'll take me through the winter. I believe I'll pay every one of my bills off now. I believe I'll be able to take care of everything. Do you think you're going to worry about anything if you've got two truckloads of gold? See, the Word of God is measurable. How much word level you have shows how much you've labored to have it. You've entered into something that's called God's rest when you have God's Word. God's Word equals God's rest.
Amen.
It really does. God's Word equal sign rest. God's Word equal sign rest. Now, it's not just the fact that you've got His Word. It's the revelation that you have of His Word. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's a relationship with Him. You cannot separate God from His Word. Can't be done. Now, the Word of God is just like God. God is exactly like His Word. His Word is identical to Him. Every attribute that you can imagine of God, you can look at the Word. That's God. His Word is an absolute mirror of Him. It's absolutely who He is. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In one place in Hebrews chapter, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 2, He says that He upholds all things by the Word of His power. In another place in Psalms, He says He exalts His Word even above His name. He magnifies His Word above His name. So if you can know the Word, that's the level you know the Word. I mean, really know the Word, written in your heart and written in your mind. That's the level you know God. It's measurable.
Yes, amen.
Revelation knowledge comes from God. I'm not talking about just being able to quote Scripture on paper, a word, you know, I could quote Scripture, but I'm talking about having a revelation of the Word. If I said to you a word, just look in the natural sense. If I said to you the word apple, you've got a picture of an apple automatically. Everybody in here, if you ever seen an apple, you know what an apple looks like. I don't have to actually have an apple up here and show you an apple. If I say apple, boom, a picture comes into your mind, doesn't it? If I say, my God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus, you need to have just as much of an image of that on the inside of you as you do the picture of that apple. When God told Abraham, He said, I want you to leave your country, leave your family. First of all, Abraham had to obey God. And He said, okay, but I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to show you a place. I'm going to give you an inheritance. And I'm going to bless you. Didn't even have any kids at the time. And for 27 years, I think it was, Abraham walked up and down in the desert, in the wilderness, in places, in tents, dwelled in tents, sat many a time under the stars and looked up at the stars. And the Lord spoke to him and said, look at the stars of the sky, if you can count them. That's the way your descendants are going to be. When he didn't even have a baby of his own. God gave him something to look at. He didn't have the New Testament like we do. He didn't have the Old Testament like we do. He didn't have anything but the stars and God.
Right, amen.
He had the sand of the sea. And God said, look at the sand and see if you can count the sand. That's the way your descendants are going to be innumerable.
Amen.
And every day, that word from God was creating a mental image within this man. And I guarantee you this, that image grew and grew and grew as he sat around the campfire and talked about the stars.
Amen.
That's what God said my seed were going to look like. I'm sure he sat around and talked about it. Because when the angels came to Abraham and he said, should we go? The angels had been with him all day and they were getting ready to go destroy or look at Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, should we go and not tell Abraham what we're going to do, seeing that he is a man who teaches his children after him? That makes an impression with God when you sit around and talk about His Word, especially making sure your children know His Word and know about Him. So God made sure that Abraham had something to look at so that one day, and God knew what He was going to do, when Isaac was around 13 years of age, I think, or 13 or 14, He said, I want you to go sacrifice that child. But on the inside of Abraham, for 20-some years, he had this clear image of all the stars. He had a clear image of his descendants, and he said, of Isaac is your seed going to come. All these descendants is going to come from Isaac. Well, he's only 14. He hasn't had no children. You sacrificed your son to me. Give me your only son. And he looked at the star. It was so ingrained in his being. It only not was in his head, it was in his heart. The revelation of what God said was a word from God, and it was so deep embedded in him that he could have killed that kid and not have thought a thing about it. See how powerful your imagination and the ability God gave you to see his word and get it in your spirit. Now, people have preached that that was a hard walk. I don't believe it was hard for Abraham to go up there and do that, because he trusted God. He truly believed God would do what he said he would do. God cannot lie. He said to his seal that God was true. So the word of God is quick. That word quick, in the Amplified, it says, for the word of God speaks, is alive, and is full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. This is good medicine for us. We need something that'll straighten us out. We need something that'll line us up. We've got to have his word to sear sometimes those bad things. Clean us up. Put us on the right path. Get our thinking right. Get our, you know, judgment. We can have the wrong ideas about things. I used to walk around thinking people talked about me all the time. I had such a spirit of inferiority. I had such a spirit of rejection that I could not even be in a crowd without feeling like somebody's talking about me, judging me, worried about how I looked, worried about what people were thinking all the time. Do you know how wonderful it is to have rest from that? I have rest now from all that. I don't worry what people think about me anymore. You know how liberating, how much rest that is? That's such torment when you're constantly worrying about what people think or say. I don't worry what people talk about me. It doesn't bother me. Judgment is just not an issue anymore. It's just not something I worry about. If God says it's okay, it's okay. He'll let me know if I'm doing something wrong. I'll guarantee you, God is my God. You don't have to straighten me out. He's big enough to do it. And he will do it. He really will do it. Verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. The word of God, nothing is not manifested in his sight. Nothing is not manifested. Everything you could ever imagine, God's word covers it. God's word sees it. There's not a situation, there's not a problem, there's nothing in this life that the word of God doesn't have an answer for it. To me, it excites me when I think about the awesomeness of God. There's no creature that's not manifest in his sight. There's not a creature. There's not anything. It's not manifested in the sight of the word, and it calls the word a person. His sight. You know, do you ever notice how little children can close their eyes and they feel like nobody's looking? You know, you can get in the dark and do things in the dark and you feel like, well, nobody sees me. The word says the night is as a daytime to God. There's nothing that is not hidden. David said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. He knows your thoughts and intents of your heart. The word knows everything. There's nothing that he doesn't know. He said, I know your thoughts are far off, and there's not a word in your mouth, but I know it altogether. He knows it. And you know what's something most people don't realize? When you've got a service like this, I don't care how big or small it is, and you've got an anointing going on in ministry, the Holy Spirit is right now analyzing everybody. He's right now, the Holy Spirit knows every heart, every mind. He knows everything you've done. He knows everything you're doing. He knows what you're involved in. And the Holy Spirit has a word just for that situation. And That's how he operates in the ministry. That's why it's important to be in church, because this is the only place on planet Earth that you're going to get to hear a Holy Spirit spoken word just to cover your life and your situation, because there's nothing manifest. It's not manifest in his sight. And he's analyzing and looking at you all the time. So when you come here, the anointing, when it's moving and flowing through a minister who's anointed, who's full of the word, he can speak to you. And he can help you see. God's not about to beat you up. He's out to help you. He's not a God who's out to... He doesn't carry a club ready to bop you and get you and cause problems to torment you or hurt you. He is a good God, and he is here to minister to you. So his word, he's got a word for everything. Everything. Look at verse 14. Seeing then, that's one of those kind of therefores, seeing then, and everybody needs to see then, that we've got this great high priest. Jesus is called the great high priest. He's the Son of God, and he's our high priest. When I say great high priest, that needs to be capitalized. Sometimes in my Bible, I will capitalize words that need to be capitalized, and I will highlight and underline them, because in my mind, we don't see him the way we should see him. And when we start seeing him the way we're supposed to see him, then we will see him as a great high priest, the way he really, really is meant to be seen. And we will treat him that way. You only treat things you see the way you see them. You see? You have to see him the way he really is, as on the right hand of God the Father, as the great high priest.
Yes.
Then you start seeing him. Then you'll start seeing. Your eyes of understanding will be enlightened. And you'll know what is the hope of his calling in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And that's what the Spirit of God is doing. He's bringing revelation to the body of Christ so we can see our great high priest. I see him. When I go to him, I see him this way. He's awesome. He's glorified. He's high and lifted up. He's my great high priest. Higher than any height that you can ever approach or ever imagine. If I could go to the president's office, the Oval Office, it would look like an anthill compared to where I go in the Spirit. I go to the great I Am's high priest. I have access to him. The Word of God is my high priest. The Word of God is my high priest. And I see him clearer and clearer as I've labored to enter in to the rest of this great high priest.
Yes.
He's made it available, it's accessible, and it's a doable thing to enter into rest. Glory. And look what he says, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. The biggest thing the devil's out. Why would he ask or command you to hold fast your profession? Your profession is just like your confession. Your confession and your profession are the same. Let us therefore hold fast our profession. Do you know what the devil's out to give you more than anything? The wrong confession. He's after your confession. He's after your profession. He's after your mouth. He wants you to start speaking death over yourself, because if you can speak death, he won't have to do much more with you. He can get you in the road of death and get you thinking death and thinking negative and thinking all these negative bad things. He don't have to mess with you anymore. He's got you on the right track. Now he can go talk somebody else on the right track, on his right track.
That's right.
It's not the right track, but it's his track. And you start speaking death. It's amazing how you just keep wanting to do that more and more and more. It's like, no, you got to hit the brake and you got to go the right direction.
That's right.
And start speaking the right things about yourself. Get the Word of God. Hold fast this profession. Hold fast your words. Make your words agree with His words. Make your words agree with Him above, no matter what it looks like. Start speaking to that situation. It doesn't matter what I see or what I see my great high priest.
Hallelujah.
And then the word has to line up with Him. You command those things that are be not as though they are. You command the thing to line up with His word. word. His word's bigger than anything anyway. Do you know the word of God is what created this earth to begin with? There's not anything that we look at or can touch or feel or see that wasn't already created by that word. And the word was Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Seeing then, and I see, thank God I see then. It was a time the devil tried to keep me blind. The Bible says the God of this world, he blinds the minds. That's his number one job, is to blind your mind and keep you on the wrong road of bad confession and profession. You can see it in your family. You can see it in your friends. And then it'll change the way you pray. You'll start praying different. When you see your great high priest, you'll start thinking different and talking different and praying differently. Verse 15. For we have not a high priest, this great high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Camp here just a minute with me. Just camp here a minute with me. I'm holding fast my profession.
Amen.
My body can be screaming, oh, no, this is not working. I'm sick and you've got pain and everything's wrong and the doctors are saying this. And no matter what, I've got to take this medicine. I've got to do. But the Word of God says this. No, I've got to hold fast where you've come to. There's more ground to get to. Don't give him 1 ounce of the territory you've taken. When the settlers came into this country, the Indians did their best to run them off. I've got ancestors who had 5 and 6 husbands. And the women were tough. And they just kept marrying a new man. Indians would kill that one. Drag him in with arrows all over him. Well, let's get another man. The enemy does not want you gaining any territory. He doesn't want you gaining any new ground. He doesn't want you to have anything steadfast in your life. Once you've ever gained some territory in the Word of God, and you know this is what God has said, and you've established that, do not give it up. Do not let it go. Stake your claim and say, this is mine. This is what the Word says about me, and I'm not giving it up. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what anybody says about it. This is mine, and I won't give it up. You can't have it. This is my Word. This is my God, and this is who I am, and this is who He says I am, and you cannot take it from me.
Yes.
Period. And you know, there's no weapon formed against you can prosper. Really and truly, nobody can be successful against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? My God shall supply all of my needs. There's a scripture that God has anchored in my heart. Now remember the apple? Remember Abraham and the stars? Remember the sand? He was so established in what God had promised him that it didn't matter what came along. He knew what God had said. And it was in his mind. It was written there. A picture, imagination was deep, deep within him. And it was in his heart. And he wasn't going to give it up for nobody.
That's right.
Because he knew God was going to make it good. If God said it, that's just the way it is.
Yes.
I don't give up any ground. The problem is, I want more ground. I want more revelation. I want more rest. I want to enter into more. Because there's more available. You know, Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. Revelation knowledge. The entrance of thy word giveth light. And their faces were not ashamed. You will never be ashamed. If you know God has said something to you, you will not be ashamed. You won't be embarrassed. I've been so in places where people looked at me like I was absolutely strange. And I was to them. But I'm not strange to heaven. I'm not strange to God. You have to really die to self. You have to really die and not even care. Because when you really enter into this rest, when you start entering into the peace,
yes,
and you sleep like a baby, you don't have to take a pill. No matter what comes along, you don't have to have any help except God's Word. It's abiding in you. Jesus said, if my Word abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you.
Yes, it is. That's His Word. Amen.
And until you understand how that operates, and I hate to say this, but you cannot do this on 15 minutes a day. You can't enter into this kind of rest. You have to give him your whole heart. You have to give him 100% of you. be led by the Spirit of God. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to do dishes or whatever, and all of a sudden, well, I just started, got soap all over me. Go pray. Right now? Go pray. Okay, slap off the soap and go pray. Hit my knees. Well, I got to finish this first. No. Okay, I just learned to obey that prompting of the Holy Spirit. I could be at work. I have to pray. I'll start praying in tongues. Thank God I pray in tongues. Driving down the road, I'm praying in tongues. And to know that Jesus really, He feels everything you've ever felt. He's so good. He knows you. He knows what you feel. He's been acquainted with all these things. But this is the verse I'm trying to get to. This is the most powerful, most important, I believe, thing right here. Verse 12 says about the word, right? Started out talking about the rest, entering into rest, enjoying rest. I mean, rest is so good. No one can complain about rest. And then it says the word is quick and powerful. It explains all about the word because that's God. And then it talks about our high priest who's made, he was the word made flesh and he dwelt among us. God sent his word. Sends his word and he heals you. On and on, the word of God talks about the word of God is a person. Then verse 16. Let us, you got to hold your profession, but then you've got to let us do something else. Let us do something else. Let us come boldly. Now, if you're a sinner, you ain't going to come boldly to God. You might crawl on your belly and lick some dirt on the way and feel like an old worm, filthy, ungodly, filthy thing you are. You done cussed fewer people out today, and you done lied, and you done cheated, and you done stole. It's just hard to be bold with God when you've lived like that. Am I right or wrong? I've been there. I know. Been out all night carousing around. I got drunk last night or whatever. It's just hard to really get in God's face the next day and stand on His word. It's just hard. You got to repent. You got to, you know, you got to do some repenting first, right? This is talking about a lifestyle of boldness 100% of the time. This is talking about a lifestyle of just living in a bold state of mind with God. In Isaiah, he says, concerning my word, command you me. It's a lifestyle where you walk in relationship with God, and it's a command you me kind of walk with God. You mean you command God? No, I command His word. I don't command God, but He told me I could do that. I'm just doing what He said I could do. I'm walking in the privileges of my high priest. I'm walking in privileges of a saint of God, a child of God, a son of God, has privileges. That's my profession. Well, don't you ever feel like you're just no good? No. I don't ever feel like I'm no good because I know what my high priest did for me. He's been touched with every feeling of every infirmity. I can come boldly to the throne of grace because of Him. He made access to Him, to the Father, to eternity, to God, all that heaven has.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I have access to it, and I have access to it boldly. And that scares the bejeebies out of the devil. That scares him worse than, oh, you talk about upsetting his apple cart. Oh, no. They're getting to get a little bold here about the Word of God.
Amen.
They're starting to see who they are. They're starting to see who their high priest is. They're starting to see what's been made available to them. They're starting to see too much. They're taking more ground than they're supposed to take. We got to push them back and keep them down. And don't let them hold fast to their confession or profession.
Yes.
Get them to talk death here. Get them to talk about how sick they are. Get them to talk about how bad it is. Get them to talk about how this is going wrong and that's going wrong. I can't win for losing. Let's get that in their mouth. Oh, this thing is just killing me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's just get some every bad confession we can get in their minds. And let's write that in their minds and let's write that in their hearts. And then they won't have room for God. It is a tug of war sometimes. Life and death is in the power of your tongue.
Yes.
Your tongue has power. It really has power. Either your words will be stout, it'll be stout against you. It's so good.
Yes, it's so good.
But this therefore, here's another therefore coming at you. Because of all these things I've shared this morning, let us therefore. Mm-hmm. Let us therefore. See, we've got access to the throne of God.
Hallelujah.
And we can come boldly. Now, we know what boldness does. Let me tell you what boldness is. Why this is so important to get a hold of. You have the answer before you even ask it. You already have the outcome already settled in your mind and in your heart. You already know the outcome. You already know the end of the story. It's already finished. You don't even have to worry about it anymore. That's why rest is so powerful. That's why this is so accessible and doable and enjoyable to enter into rest. Because you know boldly, you've already got the grace. You've already got the mercy. You've already got the help. It's already yours. It's not something you got to beg and plead and cry about. It ain't something you got to do three repentance over. You don't have to go give something here or go do something there and pay my tithes or I got to go do this and then God will answer my prayers. You're already walking in the boldness of God.
Hallelujah.
It's a way of life. It's your robe of righteousness.
Oh, thank you, God. Hallelujah.
It's your cloak.
Yes.
It's your covering. It's your life.
Praise God.
You're covered.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Boldly. You know what? If you're not tithing, I'm going to say this. I have to say this. If you are not tithing, you're cutting your own nose off.
That's right.
You're hurting your own self. It really is. It really is not. God does not want our money. He wants our heart. He wants us operating in His Word. Because He's made provision. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together shall men give into your bosom. Ooh, glory. He supplies seed for the sower. He's so good. On and on and on and on.
Yes.
The Word of God, when it becomes so written in your heart and in your mind, it's just a part of who you are.
Yes, it is.
And you've entered into such a rest. Because His Word is alive, it's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. You're walking around armed and dangerous. You're armed and dangerous. Because you're holding fast your profession. You don't know who you are if you don't spend time in the Word to find out who He's made you. Who has He made you? Who has He made me? I had to dig it out for myself. I had to find out for me. I had to press into the kingdom. The violent, you know, the Word says the violent take it by force. I had to take it. See yourself as a pioneer. See yourself as a pioneer in a wilderness place where there's enemy everywhere. But you know what? You've already got the victory. Thanks be unto God who always causes a triumph in Christ Jesus. And I love this verse where Paul spoke to Timothy. He said, now my God shall deliver me from every evil work.
Yes.
And shall preserve me into His heavenly kingdom. See, that's that apple again. I see it. I know it. But I had to get it written in my heart and in my mind. Mm-hmm. And to where I'm clothed with it and covered with it. God is just good. And I don't think that I don't have problems, but I come boldly to God. See, I don't cry no more and beg anymore. And I don't try to earn God's merits by what I've done or what I haven't done. It's not based on me. It's all based on His Word. Y'all get anything out of this morning?
Yes.
Isn't this been good?
Yes.
Holy Spirit knows us. He knows where we live. He knows who we are. Thank you, Jesus. And it's accessible. It's provided.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just close and seal this word this morning. Thank you, God, that you've changed us into your image. And we're being changed by the Spirit of God. Even by the Spirit of God, we're being changed into your image. And I thank you, God, that you're making us a mighty, mighty army in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.